are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
A demanding boss, tight deadlines, imposter syndrome, workplace anxiety is more common than we realize, and yet so many people suffer in silence. The pressure to perform can make even the most capable employees feel overwhelmed, right? But is workplace anxiety just part of having a busy job, or is it a serious mental health issue that needs addressing? What can employers do to create a work environment that supports rather than drains mental well-being? Pearline Coughlin joins us once again to speak about anxiety. And today we're speaking about anxiety in the workplace. Pearline, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to all our listeners. So good to be back with you again, Bongi.
Yes, so glad to have you back for yet another very relevant conversation. And we're talking about anxiety in the workplace. What are the common causes of workplace anxiety?
You know, Bongi, I'm so happy that we're actually addressing this topic, because oftentimes we think, you know, that the workplace is an escape to some of our home troubles.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it can be a, you know, place of the cause of severe anxiety, even for many people. And there are many causes. You know, for example, if someone has a high workload and also deadlines, you'll find sometimes that there are unrealistic expectations or there are very tight deadlines. And oftentimes people suffer with burnout because they just cannot meet the performance standards that are required of the job. Another reason, Bongi, is that, you know, it causes a job insecurity, or if someone struggles with job insecurities, if you think about the economy today, not only the economy in South Africa, but on a global level, mm-hmm. people struggle with the fear of layoffs.
Yeah.
You know, many companies are downsizing, or there's instability, and this creates a lot of uncertainty about, you know, career growth and also promotion opportunities. And besides those, just the question of, if I'm going back tomorrow, do I actually have a job? Another big cause, Bongi, is when, you know, there's poor management and leadership, where people are micromanaged and sometimes there's just no direction. Other people struggle with unfair treatment or even favoritism in the workplace, or, you know, constructive feedback. So oftentimes employees are left almost to fight for their own devices.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they just get feedback that, you know, they haven't been performing well, while there's been no progress in feedback to help them.
Mm.
A toxic work environment. I'm not sure if you've ever heard about workplace bullying, because if we say, you know, which situation do you think of if we speak about bullying? We'd say it's school.
Yeah.
But here at Vista Clinic, we help so many people who struggle with workplace bullying or conflicts with colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, office politics have a big, big contribution to this, you know, where there's discrimination or harassment. And then one more, Bongi, that I'd like to mention is that, you know, when there's a lack of work-life balance, and I think we encourage people always to be aware of, you know, what the balance is like. But if there's a lack of work-life balance, people have excessive time or inability to disconnect from work, and their work almost overwhelms their entire lives, their personal life and their family lives. And oftentimes people really struggle to get back into the balance again.
Very true. And when you talk about workplace bullying, interestingly enough, we've been talking about bullying this morning. It's something that we don't often think about. Like you said, we attribute that to children. That's high school stuff, primary high school
yes.
stuff. Once we get to adulthood, everyone should be mature enough to handle their own issues. You should be able to stand up for yourself. And how can you be bullied as a grown man or a grown woman? You know, you're too. How can you? Doesn't that make you weak in some way? And then that causes that anxiety. You end up just keeping quiet, because who am I going to tell that I'm being bullied? They're just going to.
Absolutely. Yes. And you know how many people suffer in silence until things spiral out of control. And then we find, you know, that the people are diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. And that is when they've been struggling all these years or months even, and no help, no support. And then unfortunately, it's due to workplace bullying.
And maybe the other thing, maybe the Is it confusion? Maybe it's because we expect bullying to be something physical. So if nobody's hitting me or calling me names, the typical stuff that we would see in high school, if that's not happening,
yes,
you don't think that it's bullying.
Absolutely, Bongi. While in the meantime, there's always emotional bullying,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And I suspect if you think about our self-esteem, it does get greatly affected if someone talks down on you, for example, because they're the boss,
yeah,
or the manager or colleagues who are supposed to be your peers, they speak down on you. It's so easy to go silent because we sit to this fear, you know, for judgment.
Yeah.
And like I say, in the end, it just spirals completely out of control, unfortunately.
For sure. And so how does that anxiety affect an employee's productivity and performance? How does it affect them?
You know, usually we'll see that there's reduced efficiency because employees will struggle to focus. And you may find that people like that, they take much longer time to certain tasks, they make more mistakes, and they may even overthink like simple decisions or delay progress in terms of what they're doing, you know, delaying the task, setting, resetting the deadlines for themselves. There's also decreased creativity and problem solving. Anxiety can make employees fearful of taking risks or just thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
You know, their innovation is stunted almost and it limits them. So problem solving becomes a very big issue. Another thing that is very obvious also that one notices is that there's increased absenteeism and turnover. Mm-hmm. So employees with high anxiety levels, they may take more sick days off or they just leave the organization entirely. And this can lead to disruptions and also higher recruitment costs because then these people have to be replaced or, you know, need to hire someone temporary, which we don't always find then. So it makes it a very compromising situation for employers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then also strained workplace relationships. You know, anxiety can make communication more difficult, leading to misunderstandings. People have conflicts and then eventually there's just reluctance to engage in teamwork.
Yeah.
We also find that, you know, people have lower job satisfaction and engagement. So they almost seem very distant from their work, and you will see the motivation has decreased over time as well.
Mm.
And they're just overall dissatisfied with their jobs. Also, you'll find a lot of complaining. You know, people will find anything to complain about or see anything that is wrong in the most simplest of things. You know, and that is a very good sign that there's low job satisfaction and also engagement. And then another one, you know, which we've spoken about quite a bit is physical and mental exhaustion, because chronic anxiety can lead to burnout. And this can further reduce an employee's ability to perform at their best.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't underestimate, once again, if your body starts speaking to you, then we know, you know, that there is a challenge, something is going on that I should be aware of.
Right. And so what can employers do then to create a healthy work environment?
Yes. And you know what, Bongi, I really hope that eventually so many employers will become more conscious, because it's a few simple things sometimes that needs to happen. Things like, you know, if they foster open communication, if they allow employees to discuss the concerns with them without the fear of being judged or retaliation,
mm-hmm,
and also to train managers to recognize signs of stress and anxiety.
Right.
This is so important. While we, at the same time, they offer mental health support. So I know that many companies have an EAP, you know, employee assistance programs,
mm-hmm,
where there's counseling services provided. And this can help employees, you know, in the workplace itself, physical workplace itself, just to go and vent maybe and find a place of safety where, you know, they can lay their troubles, should it, you know, be during the day and so on. And then also to provide a positive work culture. Sometimes, I know there are companies that are very good with this at times, where they recognize and reward employee achievements. And if there's toxic behavior, it should be addressed, as well as bullying or discrimination, you know, and not allow it to spiral out of control once again. And then I know many companies, and even us here at Vista Clinic, we often encourage people to take care of their physical health and wellness. And, you know, it's good to have like a wellness day, for example, where we allow people to Just come and see how fit they are, to weigh themselves, to check their length, you know, the BMI story.
Yeah.
So that they know where they are in terms of their physical health. And this is so important. So if it comes from the employer, him or herself, it makes such a big difference. It gives the sense of, I'm supporting you, I'm here for you, yeah, should anything go wrong.
I love that. That's beautiful. And then how can employees set boundaries to reduce work-related stress? What should employees do? Because sometimes I think the fear is, I don't want to seem like a diva. I don't want to seem like I'm difficult to work with.
Yes.
So how do I set boundaries in a way that is firm and yet still it's kind of open?
Yes, yes. Such an important question, Bongi, because boundaries, or setting boundaries, is so essential for reducing our stress levels. And also it helps us to maintain a healthy work-life balance. So firstly, it's important to define your work hours. Mm-hmm. So set clear, you know, when am I starting and when is the end of my work day? And also, if you're not available, to communicate this to your colleagues and your managers. Mm-hmm. Another one is also to avoid checking emails or messages outside of your work hours. Oftentimes people sit with fear that, you know, what are people going to think about me if I say I'm not, I don't have the capacity at the moment to do.
Yeah.
So it's important to actually just define your work hours and also then prioritize your tasks and manage your workload. Sometimes people sit with tasks already, many are appointed to them in addition. That is almost an unfair practice. Mm. You know, so it's important to know what you can and what you cannot do. And also set communication boundaries, you know, say when you're available and not. I often find people saying, but I have to answer my phone. And but you're in a space now where you're busy taking care of yourself, and we're trying to help you to allow other people to just step your boundaries. So it's so important that we are aware of, you know, what it does to us as a person.
Okay.
Also, it's important to take breaks and just protect your personal time. Sometimes people sit in front of the computer for 5 hours to 6 hours, but yeah, I'm not sure how someone does that.
Sure.
Keeping focus is impossible. So it's important to say, you know, I'm stepping away from desk for a moment. I'm having my lunch break. I don't want to talk about work. And if I take a vacation, I want to take it without feeling guilty.
Beautiful, beautiful. I think that's a very important one. I think, like you said, a lot of people struggle with that. And unfortunately, especially, I feel like maybe like early days when you've just started working at a place, that's really the last time you want to, that's not the time you want to start setting those boundaries. You really want to show how hard of a worker you are. You want to be available at all times.
Yes.
But unfortunately, that then sets the tone for the rest of your time. At that place, and then it becomes difficult for you to set those boundaries later on, because now at that point you're kind of pulling back, which is that's a tricky space that I understand why a lot of people find
it's a very tricky. Yes, yes, Bongi, that's so true. And, you know, unfortunately, many companies actually cultivate that culture, or they encourage that culture.
Hey.
Where if I'm ill, it's almost a no-no. If I'm not available, it's a no-no.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you actually set the boundary from the onset. We encourage people to do that. And, you know, so that later on it doesn't become a struggle. If I know from the onset where I stand with you, and it's like in any other relationship, it's no different from any other relationship where we set boundaries. The same really applies in the workplace.
Yeah.
And often the fears that we spoke about earlier, those are the ones that that prevents people from actually setting workplace boundaries, which is very detrimental, as we know by now.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, for us as Seventh-day Adventists, a lot of times we used to have these talks sometimes when I was in high school, college, when they were talking about when you now go out there and you're looking for a job, you know, sometimes you'd be advised, don't tell them that you don't work on the Sabbath. Just get the job first and impress them and show them how good of a worker you are. Then let them know later on that you can't work on the Sabbath. And then others would be like, no, from the onset, be clear that on the Sabbath.
It's
always a very confusing thing. Like, okay, what do I do? Do I first come in and just show them how good of a worker I am so that they know that I am valuable, even though I'm not available on Sabbath? But yeah, that was always a tricky
Absolutely.
Thing.
Yes. And you know, Bongi, I think it relates to our personal values as well.
Yes.
It's so important to take care of yourself first. We often think that, you know, having the martyr image or sacrificing, that creates a great image. Unfortunately, it doesn't. And I really always put the message out there, think about yourself first before you do of other people. Otherwise, it will come back to bite you, unfortunately.
Sure. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's very important. Now, are remote jobs helping or worsening workplace anxiety? What do you think? You know, we've had this over the last few years, especially. It's been such a thing, work from home.
Yes.
Do you think that helps or worsens workplace anxiety?
You know, Bongi, actually, there's two sides to the coin, which is awesome. And I think the awareness there of is so important. So, you know, how remote work helps with anxiety is that firstly, it helps us with flexibility and autonomy. In other words, employees can manage their own schedules, they can reduce stress-related issues to strict office hours and micromanagement. It helps with all of that. Also, it avoids office politics.
Yeah.
So if we, if you have less exposure to workplace conflicts, especially if it's a toxic environment and social pressures, then it can also ease anxiety for some people. Mm-hmm. While at home sometimes or working remotely can be very comfortable. You know, it allows people to create a work place that suits their needs, that reduces sensory overload, especially if you're someone who struggles with anxiety. And you can then at the same time also better your work-life balance. So mm-hmm. there's no commuting and there's the ability to take breaks when needed, unless you are, needed in a meeting and so on. And it can really improve your mental health.
Yeah.
On the other side, it can worsen your anxiety because, with anxiety, we tend to isolate and eventually we become very lonely. So loneliness is a very big issue when it comes to anxiety. Mm-hmm. So then there's a lack of social interaction. And this can make people feel that they're unsupported or that they are disconnected from others. While you find that, also there's blurred work-life boundaries. So it can be harder for some people to almost, like I'd say, switch off. And this leads to overworking and burnout. So for example, with COVID, so many people struggled. You know, I would hear people say, but I have to take this phone call. There's a meeting at 8 o'clock and please, I'm sending you an email at 11 o'clock. Okay. Well, normally they wouldn't do that if they would be in the office, and it's very unhealthy.
Yes. Yes.
So once again, the boundaries become really blurred. And then also communication challenges, sometimes it's better to communicate face-to-face or on video call. Otherwise, it can create misunderstandings and also stress. And then some people, if they work remotely, they find that there's job security concerns where they fear that they may be overlooked for promotions or just job stability. It's more stable if someone goes into the office. That's the perception. So it's important to be aware, that there can be a hybrid model, and this offers, it gives us flexibility.
Yeah.
While it also maintains our social and professional engagement. And I think more and more workplaces are actually working towards this hybrid model to make sure that they take care of people. However, I wish more people would, to be aware of what it causes for people if it worsens the anxiety.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's very true, especially when you talk about the boundaries, setting boundaries for when you're working from home.
Yes.
That's a big one. I saw a lot of people struggling with that over that COVID period. Like there were no working hours. The whole day was your working hours.
Exactly. Yes. And you'll find people, sorry, Bongi, if you're in your pajamas and you're in your slippers and your gown, then it's very comfortable to sit and work like that. So also that gives the brain the impression that, I'm so comfortable, then I can just go on for hours, which is not very healthy at the end of the day.
Very true. And then the other thing, Pauline, as we're wrapping up our conversation, there's this idea that work is supposed to be hard. You shouldn't enjoy work. No one enjoys work. To the point where I feel like those who do enjoy their work are like, am I doing something wrong? Because why am I not struggling? Why don't I hate all my colleagues? And is that the case? Is work supposed to be difficult? Is it not necessarily toxic and not necessarily unhealthy for my mental, but just supposed to be? Is there anything wrong if I'm actually really having a good time at work and I get along well with my colleagues, I enjoy the work and all of that?
Yeah. Oh, Bongi, I think then, you have to come and see us here at Vista Clinic.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like I'm on a holiday because we have that culture of taking care of ourselves first. And I'll share with you, it's so important that, we are happy at work. And I always share with people, if you think about it, we spend most of our hours at work.
Exactly.
Many of us spend 8 hours to 10 hours at work, and then you go home, and then you have like 4 hours before you go to bed or your children go to sleep. And so the time at home is much more limited than the time you spend at work. So it should be your happy place.
Yes.
It should be your happy place. And, you know, for many people who are struggling with anxiety, there's also the thought that, you know, we are not planted. We are not rooted in this company. Some of us live with the idea that I have to be here. Otherwise, things will not work out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about taking and see, can I maybe make for myself a better contribution if I find another space which is less toxic, which is where I live with reduced stress, where I feel that I'm taken care of, where I have that work-life balance. And if we can just change our mindset sometimes around these things, it would also really play a very big role. But our workplaces are our happy places. It should be a happy place, yes.
I love that. I love that. I think we've gotten too comfortable with the idea that adulthood in general has to be difficult. And then, you know, it's all about the bills and the responsibilities and taking care of your children, taking care of your aging parents. There's just so many responsibilities on us that we have come to just accept that it must be difficult. But thank you so much for that reminder. We can actually have peace in this life. We can have, you know, we can enjoy ourselves. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for a wonderful conversation. Let's just wrap it up.
Awesome, Bongi.
And then we'll be connecting again on Friday. Any final words?
On Friday. You know, life is all about having fun, even in the workplace.
Yeah.
Fun is not only with my family, with my children. The workplace should also be a fun place to be.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much, Praline. And we'll chat again on Friday.
Awesome. Thanks, Bongi.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.